Thank you, Pastor Mark. Thank you for those kind words. I must say that, in ministry, you always need mates just to encourage you, mates who understand the reality and the honesty of ministry. And Pastor Mark here is one of my mates. I love him a lot, and he's a very good friend, and he understands me very, very well. There's something about senior pastors, we understand one another very, very well. And, Sun Life Church, well, we are a new church. We've been only going around for 10 years. By the grace of God, we're still around. But it's just God giving me gracious and loving and humble and wise pastors to help me do what I do. And your pastor is definitely one of them. I love him a lot. I continue to pray for him, yeah? Continue to support him and his family. Melinda, just keep loving them, grace upon them. You've got a phenomenal leader, and I really believe that this man here is going to take this church to just places where you've never been before. Brother, thank you so much for inviting me. I never take this lightly. I never take preaching the Word of God lightly, and I thank you for trusting me with this time. Thank you for giving me the freedom to preach what God has laid upon my heart for you, this church. I really believe this is a word in season for this church, and thank you for trusting me with the next 55 minutes. I'm going to keep, he gives me strict instructions that I'm keeping to it. We've developed such a great friendship over the years. There's a lot of things that we have in common. You know, we love our craft beers. I'm not sure we're allowed to say that. Am I allowed? I'm not allowed to say that, right? I'm so too late. I've said it already. Just edit that part. We love what God is doing in the local church. We love Jesus, and we love the Frio Dockers. So there's a lot in common. A lot in common. I've got some fans already. Can I ask you this question here? When was the last time you shared the gospel to someone? Was it last week? Last month? Last year? When was the last time you prayed a prayer and there was a breakthrough and you began to share that amazing breakthrough to a loved one? When was the last time you invited someone to come to a connect group or come to a church service? Can you remember? And what I want to do this morning here is I want to encourage us to live a life that is courageous in proclaiming the gospel. And we want to go deeper into a text. And I want to show you some principles to help you and I live a life that is courageous in proclaiming the good news. I titled this message, Gospel Courage. And we're going to look into the text, which is 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. So if you have your Bible, please turn there right now, verses 1 to 6. I'm going to pray, I'm going to ask God's Spirit to teach us. And as we dive into the text, I want to highlight three principles. The seed of gospel courage, where we get this seed from. The root. Why is it that some people are more courageous than others? The weeds of gospel courage. What hinders us from being courageous? And the need for gospel courage. Why is it important that your life and my life should be courageous? So I'm going to pray. I want to invite God's Spirit to speak to us and lead us in this time. Father God, I pray now that as I begin to expound and teach your word, I pray, God, that you would speak to us. Holy Spirit, would you be our great teacher right now? Would you open our eyes and our ears to hear from you? And may we not just be hearers, but doers of your word. So would you help me this time? Would you speak to us all? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 1 to 6. Please have your fingers there. The seed to gospel courage. Why is it that some people are more courageous than others? Have you ever thought and asked that question? Why is it that some will always share the message and others struggle? Now, before we look into the text, let me give you the context of this morning's passage. You see, before Paul and Silas found their way in the city of Thessalonica, they were in Philippi. We see this in Acts chapter 16. In Philippi, they're preaching the gospel. They're doing amazing gospel work. There's such courage and boldness. But we also find out that the Jewish leaders, they weren't happy. So they would, mock? They would beat up? They would lock out Paul and Silas? If you have your Bible, turn with me to Acts 16. Let me read the Word of God from verses 22 and 23. The crowd joined in attacking them. Here, two men preaching the gospel, and now they're persecuted. They're being beaten up. The magistrates tore their garments off them and gave orders to beat them with rods. And when they had inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them in prison, ordering the jailer to keep them safely. You read through the book of Acts, you get to 17, they manage to find the way to the next city, the city of Thessalonica, of which they begin to do gospel work. For some reason, the beating in Philippi did not stop them from proclaiming the gospel. They continue to preach the message with boldness. And Paul begins to write this letter to the Christians in this city. So this morning's passage, verses 1 and 2, he says this, "For you know, brothers, that our coming to you was not in vain. But though we have been already suffered and being shamefully treated in Philippi," he's mentioning what took place in Philippi. "We were beaten up, we were mocked, we were locked. As you know, we had boldness in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in the midst of much conflict." Verse 2 gives us the seed of gospel courage. There's boldness in God alone. Your strength to proclaim the good news, your strength to share someone the gospel, your strength to get someone come to church should not be based on how much you know the Bible or what program the church has got or what's around the corner, but in God alone. It is a boldness in God. I mean, I love your pastor. He's a phenomenal communicator. But don't put that boldness and trust in him. Don't put it on the kids program or whatever service or production. No, no. You find your boldness in God alone. And here's the thing about boldness is that God doesn't take away the fear. The fear will always be there, because if God took away the fear, there's no need to be courageous. Amen? The fear will always be there. But what God does is that he gives you power and boldness through his Holy Spirit. When was the last time you asked for boldness? When was the last time before you even invited someone to church, you slowed down and you prayed and prayed. You said, "God, will you give me boldness? Will you give me the courage to share the gospel, to invite someone to a connect group, to invite someone to church?" When was the last time you actually slowed down and asked God? I wonder whether if we did that more often, we find there's strength, there's boldness, there's this ability to be courageous in proclaiming the gospel. I read the Bible and I noticed that every time there was boldness, there was this filling of God's Spirit. God would fill us with his Spirit to proclaim the good news. We see in the book of Acts when Peter stood before the thousand to preach that gospel message in Acts chapter 4. The Bible says that he was bold in proclaiming the Messiah, but he was filled with the Spirit. Two chapters later, in Acts chapter 6, when Stephen was about to be martyred, you know what? The Bible says he was filled with the Spirit and he boldly proclaimed the gospel. When was the last time you slowed down and began to say, "God, will you give me boldness to invite someone along to church? Will you give me boldness so that I can have the courage to share the gospel message?" One of the things I hear a lot as a pastor is when they say to me, "Well, Pastor Ben, you don't get it. I'm too afraid because I'm not quite sure what to say. I'm not quite sure whether my words will come out right. It may stumble and I may make a fool of myself and they may laugh at me." You know what? I really believe that greater is he who's in you than in the world. I really believe that the Spirit that raised Christ from the grave is the same Spirit that lives in you, that he gives you power to do his work. He will give you boldness and courage to proclaim the gospel. And I really believe the Word of God in Luke 12:12. You have your Bible, go there. Jesus once said this, "The Holy Spirit will teach you in the very hour what you ought to say." I really believe that there'll be certain moments where you're about to say something and God's Spirit will say this. I really believe that. But I also believe that it starts with you saying, "God, would you give me courage to invite? Will you give me courage to share?" Because the seed of gospel courage must be from God alone, never us. And when we understand that, the very person that we run to for strength and for power and for boldness and for courage must be God alone. I really believe that. I want you to keep that in mind in this coming week as we begin to invite people along to Good Friday and Easter Sunday. before you even invite, before you even send a message, before you even make that phone call, find time to slow down and say, God, will you give me boldness? Will you give me the courage? I need more of you and less of me. Holy Spirit, will you give me the right words to say? Will you help me? And I really believe with all my heart at that point in time, God's Spirit will just give you the power, the wisdom, and the right words to say, to share, to invite. The seed of gospel courage must be God alone. That's my first point. The weeds of gospel courage. When I talk about weeds, I'm referring to that plant that we don't like, the plant that usually sucks up all the nutrients and the water that our lawn ought to use, or that plant that kind of suffocates all the lawn that takes and hogs up the sun ray. What is hindering us to be courageous? What hinders you and I to be out there sharing the gospel? I see two things in the text. The first thing I see is selfish ambition or self-centeredness. I'll show you this in the text. Look in verse 3 and verse 5. For our appeal does not spring from error or impurity or any attempts to deceive. Verse 5. For we never came with words of flattery, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed. What is Paul saying right here? The text says that, you know, when we came to you, there was no selfish agenda. There was no personal gain. There was no impure motives. There was no attempt to trick or to lie or no mask to cover up greed. We came pure. We came to preach this amazing gospel. Because here's the problem with self-centeredness. It's all about me. What do I get out of this? What is there for me? God, if I share the gospel to more people, do I get more blessing? Self-centeredness will say this, if there's no gain for me, then why would I even bother sharing the gospel? Self-centeredness is all about me as the end product, that I get the glory. It's not God, it's all me. It's cause and effect. So in other words, what I do, is the effect good? And if it's not good, I won't do it. You know, there are certain churches that I have visited and worked in where they've stayed small for many years. Why? Because they're very selfish, because they think that if there's more people, more problems. More problems, more work. Therefore, why bother, what? Sharing. We laugh, but that's the reality. Because if you look at that attitude, that's a spirit of selfishness, because it's too much work for me. The reason why some people don't want to share the gospel is because they know that it's going to take a lot of work. I have to be there for that person when they hit rock bottom. I don't have time for them. But what happens if they hit a snag in life? I've got to be there. And so what we do is we go, well, I don't want to do that. It's just too much work for me. I don't want to get to know them. They're not like me. They come from a different culture. They look different. They're not educated. Well, why would I even bother? The root of that attitude is self-centeredness, because what do I get out of it? If it's good, I'll do it. If it's not good, I won't do it. And that's what I see in the text right here. One of the reasons why people do not want to invite, one of the weeds, what hinders us from being courageous, is selfish ambition. The second thing I see here, the second weed, is the fear of man. In other words, who am I trying to please? Look in verse 4 and verse 6. But just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak not to please man, but to please God who tests our hearts. Verse 6. Nor did we seek glory from people, whether from you or from others, though we could have made demands as apostles of Christ. Here's the thing. Who we fear will end up being the who we obey. Think about that. Paul says, we're not here to please man. We're here to please God. We're not here seeking glory from people. Paul is saying, I'm more concerned with what God has to say about me than what people has to say about me. When we are more concerned about man, we end up obeying man. When we're more concerned about God, we end up obeying God. Jesus once said this in Matthew 10:28. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Friends, you know that when you fear God, you want to impress God. When you fear God, you will share the message, even if people think you're weird. Because you're not here to impress people, you're here to impress God. You know, you share the gospel message, even if it's going to jeopardize that friendship with your friend, but you know that if you can win them for Jesus, to have them in eternity future is far greater than the opportunity or the moment of losing that friendship. You will still share the gospel. You know, if you fear God, you share the gospel even if you feel that it's pointless, because you know God is able to change and God is able to save. Therefore, you will still share the gospel message. But when you fear man and you want to impress man, you're more concerned of what they has to say about you behind your back. You're more concerned about maybe we might lose that friendship, so I better not talk about my faith. You kind of go numb. I won't even share the gospel because I've already made the conclusion they won't receive Jesus. Then why bother share the gospel? Why bother waste my time and energy? I won't talk about it. Paul says no. Don't impress man. Don't be afraid of man. Impress God. Obey God. And that's when you find there's a courage. Two weeds: selfish ambition or the fear of man. That's what we see right here. But now the need for gospel courage. Why is this so important? Why must we live a life that is courageous? Go back with me to verse 1. Look what Paul says right here. For you yourselves know, brothers, that our coming to you was not in vain. You see, Paul said this, that when we came to you, despite the opposition, despite the hardship, our coming to you was not hollow. It wasn't empty. It wasn't without meaning. It wasn't in vain. It was fruitful. It was meaningful. There is substance. Friends, listen carefully. When you and I are willing to be courageous, to live this one life that we have, inviting people to church, getting them to connect groups, sharing the gospel message, there will be more meaning to our personal existence. Life becomes more meaningful. Life becomes more purposeful. Life becomes more enjoyable. You see, scholars would say this, that when Paul and Silas came to the city here, they only stayed in the city maybe for a month or a few months. This city here was one of the cities in which they did not stay for a long period of time. In Acts 17, we are told, as Luke would record this, that Paul and Silas was in this city and spent 3 Sabbath days, which means 3 weekends, teaching, preaching. So some scholars would say that they would have been here for around 3 to 4 weeks, did their thing, moved to the next city. Some say maybe a bit more, but no more than 6 months, no more than a year, a very short period of time. But I love what Paul would say here, that when we came to you in that short window, in that short period of time, it was not in vain. They said right there that it was not pointless. It wasn't meaningless. It wasn't in vain. The need for us to be courageous is this, is to understand that we are like the Paul and the Silases of this world. That God has placed us in this city of Perth. This is our Thessalonica. That we're only here for a short window. We are missionaries. This is not home. Heaven is home. We are not citizens of this world. We're a citizen of heaven. And we're all missionaries. And this city of Perth, the city that God has placed us in, we are called to be out there, be bold, reaching people, sharing the gospel message, because we don't know when He will take us home. What George was saying, we don't know when He's going to return, but this period here that we're in right now, what a great opportunity to be bold, to reach people, to share the gospel message. And that way, our lives will not be meaningless. Our lives will not be pointless. It will not be in vain. That's the reason why we have to be courageous. The need for us to be courageous is so that the life that we live is not a wasted life. That this place, this city, Perth, is our Thessalonica. That we are the Paul, we are the Silases. And we, even though they were there for a short window, they made sure they made the very most of it. We are also here for a short window. I had someone who came to my church on Christmas Day, and that person passed away 10 days later, unexpectedly. It is a wake-up call for me as a pastor to remind myself that life is very short. The window that I have in Perth is very short. So if I want to see more meaning, if I want to see more purpose, more fruitfulness in my life, there is a need to be courageous. That's the reason why you and I are called to be courageous. Being saved by God through His grace, well, that's got to be at the very top of the list. That God in His grace would save sinners like us. But I think second after that is to make sure we don't waste this life. This ransom and redeemed life that we have in Christ Jesus, we are to make the most of it. And when we have that attitude, that need to be courageous, wow, we can say it wasn't in vain. I made the very most with that life that you gave me, God. You know, let me finish off with this story here. Today, the 28th of March, marks 40 years, to this very day, 40 years that my family came here as refugee. 40 years. Yeah, 40 years. We left after the Vietnam War, and we hopped on a small wooden fishing boat, and we sailed south. 40 years ago, we came here as refugee. You see, my uncle, before we left, he received the Lord in the mid-70s. And he fell in love with this amazing Savior Jesus. And he began to share the gospel message to my mom and dad, knowing that I may not see my brother and sister and my nephew and niece. He knew that there was that one opportunity to share with my parents the gospel. He said, you know what? You got to trust in this Jesus. You got to believe in this Jesus. He's a Jesus who loves you and He would save you. And my parents would say, no, we don't want to know Jesus. We don't worship Jesus. He says, well, when you're out at sea on your wooden fishing boats and you need help, cry out to Jesus. Just cry out to Jesus because He loves you. He's got a purpose. He's got a plan for this family. I kid you not, there are many times when we thought this was it, the boat would capsize. I remember as a little boy seeing waves and swell probably three times the height of this auditorium here. And there was one time my parents thought this was it, game over. Cried out to Jesus. Yeah. And the storm silenced. That's why when I read the gospel message, when Jesus would silence the storm, it hits home because we saw that Jesus. Anyhow, we are now in some refugee camp in Indonesia. In Indonesia, and missionary starts coming through. And guess who they're proclaiming? Jesus. And they say, who wants Jesus in their life? Who needs Jesus as Savior? My parents says, I remember that name Jesus. We called out that name Jesus out at sea several times. That was the Jesus that our brother shared to us. The missionary says, who wants Jesus? They said, we want Jesus. You see, my parents received the Lord. I grew up in a Christian family. Today, I'm a pastor. The rest is history, right? But my uncle, that fella that shared the gospel message to us, is a pastor today. He's a Baptist minister in Sydney. And he said this, one of my prayers was that there'll be more pastors in our family. And he said to me that, you know what? I had that window to share the gospel message to your parents because I was afraid that they would not make it. I want to make sure that I had an opportunity to share the message. I did not waste the opportunity. It was not in vain. And he goes, I'm so glad that I shared the gospel message. I'm so glad that Jesus saved the family. I'm so glad today you're a pastor, Ben. You see, friends, my uncle knew that that window was very narrow. That's why he had the courage to share the message. There was the need to be courageous because he realized that he may not see his brother and sister again and the two kids. Our window is also very narrow. Life is very, very short. The need to be courageous is so that we don't waste this life. May it never be in vain. May there be meaning. May there be purpose. May there be fruitfulness for God's glory alone. Inglewood Church, I don't know what God is saying to you right now. But I want you to know that He has saved you with a purpose to bring glory to Him. He doesn't want you to live a wasted life. He wants you to draw strength from Him because He alone is the seed of your courage. Maybe He's highlighting certain areas that you need to look into. Certain weeds, whether it's self-centeredness, whether it is the fear of people around you that you're trying to impress, maybe it's time to uproot those weeds. Or maybe God is using you to remind you that life is so short. That's the need to be courageous. So this week here, when you're out this week in your community, when we scattered as the people of God, oh, may you get out there and have boldness to proclaim the gospel. May you have boldness to invite someone along to church this Friday, this coming Sunday. And don't be afraid, because God will give you all you need to proclaim the glory of His Son. I want us to all close our eyes now. I want to pray for you. But I also want to take this moment to challenge us. Challenge us right now. You know, at Sun Life Church, we don't do altar calls. Very rarely, but as the Spirit God leads us, we do that. I want to challenge Inglewood Church this morning. If you feel that you need prayer, a prayer for boldness, a prayer to uproot any weeds that is hindering you from being courageous, prayer so there's an awakening of your spirit, that life is so short that there's a need for you to be courageous. I don't know whether you're comfortable, but I just want you, with all eyes closed, if that is you, can you be upstanding right now? Because I want to pray for you. I really believe that as I pray for you, God is going to do something wonderful in the supernatural, and that there's going to be something life-changing. I really believe that. So if that's you, you be upstanding right now. Thank you. I want to pray for you. Anyone else? Thank you. Come on, this is so good. In fact, why don't we do this? Why don't we just begin to pray to God right now? Just pray to God right now in your own way. If you want to sing, you can sing. If you want to kneel, you can kneel. But why don't you just do business with God right now? And in your own time, just worship God. Anyone else needs prayer? Because I'm going to pray right now. Father God, you see those standing. God, thank you so much that you would use me just to remind your people the importance of living this one life to bring glory to you, to be bold, to be courageous in proclaiming the gospel. You know where we're at. You know our fears. You know our struggles. You know our insecurities. But we know, God, that you're able to change us. We know, God, there's power in your spirit. So I pray right now for those who are needing that special touch from your Holy Spirit right now, God. So, Lord, would you do that work in their hearts right now? This week, God, as they're out there in their family, in their community, Lord, may there be boldness, may there be courage to proclaim the gospel, to invite people to church. Even if they're not quite sure what to say, Holy Spirit, will you give them the very words at that hour, at that point in time? So, Lord, will you do that work right now for those who may be afraid? Maybe there is a fear of man. Would you take that away right now? Would you take that away right now? Oh, would you take that away right now? God, we know that life is so short. We're missionaries here in this city. Will you remind us of that reality? And as of this afternoon, this church here will be a church that is inviting people, a church that is bold to proclaim the gospel. Will you do that work right now? I pray for Pastor Mark and the leadership, Lord, that you will continue to anoint them. Would you empower them, Lord, to lead this church well, to encourage this church to be in the community, reaching the lost, the last, the least, bringing them to this church, leading them to the cross of Jesus. Will you do that work? In Jesus' name. Can we be upstanding? Can we be upstanding? Can we just sing? Let's just worship. Let's just begin to worship God.